trying to rediscover my confidence standing up during a service. I'm not going to stand for the whole of the service, but I'm going to attempt some of it. It seems to be that I've had a fast heartbeat all of my life, I suppose, and I don't know whether it flutters now and again, but I've been put on a list. Probably I shall have gone heavenwards by the time that list is exhausted. There are so many on heart lists all over the place. Anyway, it's lovely to be here this morning. The drive along North Bank was glorious, except for the people going past at 60 miles an hour. Idiots. I don't often call people idiots, but they are, because they put everyone else in danger. That 40 mile an hour is enough, I think. Anyway, what do I know? So we're glad to be together. We're glad that we've got a service this afternoon that reminds us that revival is needed in the church, that new life, new energy, new courage is needed in the church. And I'm covering just a bit of that today. Today's Trinity Sunday. Last week was Pentecost, which we didn't, until I interjected, remember it was last week. Trinity Sunday generally kills the season of the Spirit off. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, dull sermon on the Trinity. Well, I hope I'm not dull and share a little bit with you. So we greet one another in the name of Christ. He is here. He loves us. He knows all about us. There's no point in hiding from Jesus. The best thing is to walk towards him and become one of his disciples. So we're going to ask now in our opening hymn, 372, "Come down, O love divine, that the love of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit will be a flame amongst us this morning."
Thank you.
And I just use a little bit from the Holy Communion book. For the day of Pentecost and times of renewal in the life of the church. And I think we have, over this nation, in church after church, come to a time when we need to be renewed in our love for Jesus and in our public confidence in sharing the message of Christ. We're not called to gather together just to sit on a seat and that's it for the week and see you next Sunday. During the week, we're called to show Jesus in our love, to have him in our thoughts. How can I serve you, Lord? How can I be closer to you? And to be a people of Pentecost flame. And often we lose our nerve at that point, which is a great pity. God declares, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful people and kindle in us the fire of your love through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we confess our sins to God. Gracious and holy God, we confess that we've sinned against you and against our neighbour. Your Spirit gives light, but we have preferred darkness. Your Spirit gives wisdom, but we have been foolish. Your Spirit gives power, but we have trusted in our own strength. For the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, forgive our sins and enable us by your Spirit to serve you in joyful obedience to the glory of your name. Amen. There is now no condemnation for those who live in union with Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. Amen. Thanks be to God. It's nice to see just one or two younger worshippers here this morning. You can listen if you want to. Otherwise, you'll have to go with your own thoughts. But I've been taking a tonic recently, only for a couple of days, to perk me up after the winter. And do you know what it says on the medicine bottle? And I think it's daft. I'll tell you. Keep out of the reach and sight of children. And I've had an awful week trying to keep out of the reach and sight of children. They're everywhere. They're skipping around in the sunshine. Oh, the energy they have. And the smiles they have. We practiced a smile together here this morning, didn't we? Do you remember? Yes, 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 let it go, let it go. I'll tell you why, because that's as good as medicine. A smile at somebody makes them feel very, very special. And so I've been watching children this week, keeping out of reach and sight, but having a cup of coffee in my hand and watching children down where we Anne and I get a cup of coffee. Oh, the energy they have. Well, there are smiles and there are tears, but there's fun and vigour, and they love playing and learning. So you children keep us young. You didn't realise you've got something to keep us young, to stop us from ageing. And there's plastic grass. That's the easy way to cut it. Near that coffee shop that we go to. And they love to get on that grass and run and roll and risk and receive and recover and renew. So I'm saying a thank you to children, those that are here and those that are not here that we see all over the place. And may we learn to look after children. The Sunday schools used to do it, but they are not the same anymore. But children are especially wonderful. And wasn't it that Jesus told us that unless we become like little children, we will not enter the kingdom of God? So smile, leap as much as you're able. Have fun, enjoy each other. And I hope that will be happening in a few moments as you leave after the offering. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones, little ones, to him belong. I am weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. And I hope everyone knows that this morning as we worship together. Now we receive our offering. And then after the offering, we'll sing 371, Breathe on Me, Spirit of Jesus, as the young people go out for their lessons and activities. Lord, we make these gifts to you in thankfulness for your many gifts to us. Above all, we remember that Jesus died for us. He's our Saviour. May we talk about Jesus and share Jesus with others. May that be a life calling upon us. And may the children this morning be blessed in the things that they do together. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much, and we'll see you later back in the service. And while you're going out, we'll sing 371, Breathe on Me, Spirit of Jesus. simple yet profound. May it happen. But we have a first reading this morning, Psalm 85. We'll hear the psalm first and then I'll just make a very, very brief comment.
So you kindly sang for me earlier this morning, and at short notice I've been asked to read for you. And before I do so, just a little prayer in our minds for Ruth, who I suspect is the original scheduled reader, that she feels better as the day goes on. So Psalm 85. You, Lord, showed favour to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sins. You set aside all your wrath and turned from your fierce anger. Restore us again, God our Saviour, and put away your displeasure towards us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger through all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your unfailing love, Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will listen to what God the Lord says. He promises peace to his people, his faithful servants, but let them not turn to folly. Surely his salvation is near those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteous and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps. Amen.
That's a psalm that's very appropriate on a day when you're, beginning to think about revival in the church at the service with Langley this afternoon. It's a wonderful psalm, this 85th psalm. Will you not revive us again? In other words, there seems to be in the spiritual life something that happens and comes to a point, and then, because of us rather than God, rolls away, and we're left longing to know revival. Now, we've known revivals in time past, of course. This country was saved from some of the horrors of the French Revolution, I believe, by the fact that John and Charles Wesley and other preachers from other churches put a fresh emphasis on knowing Jesus in the time of the Industrial Revolution. So, as I said before, we had new sources of power coming to us through the steam engine and the fires of industry. And yet at the same time, as populations moved very rapidly around to follow the Industrial Revolution, we had power over the human heart and its waywardness, because Jesus was preached clearly and with passion, and people were put into groups and they studied the Bible, they learned to read, they learned to look after each other. So the nation, will you not revive us again, is perhaps beginning to recognize we slipped from the ways of God. They want to return to God. Revival seems far away. There was a revival in the Hebrides, 1949 to 52. And I've read quite heavily on revival in time past, and I long for it to come again. It was one of the hopes that I might see it in my lifetime. I might. But the way the church is going in this country, I might not. And I had a tape that I valued of people giving their testimonies after the Hebridean revival, some years after that. What was it like? I was a little child then. I remember one lady saying, "But it was heaven on earth." And I remember the way that she said that with such longing and joy and truth that I wanted revival. Will it come? Well, I lent that tape and I never got it back. I forgive the person because I think hearing that lady say, "Oh, that time was heaven on earth," was so moving. So do we want revival? That may be a question that is posed in this church in the days that come. I'd like heaven on earth, but I know when I breathe my last, because of the goodness of Christ, for what he did for me on the cross, there's a wonderful time awaiting us in heaven. So we sing the hymn now, 383, Holy Spirit, Gift Bestower. Thank you. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, verses 16 to 20.
Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Praise be to God.
I suppose if you wanted a title for what I'm trying to say in different ways today, it's Keep a Light. This is the season of the Holy Spirit. Don't switch off and think, "Oh, I don't understand the Holy Spirit." You need the Holy Spirit. If you know Jesus, the Holy Spirit has already touched you, because he's worked within you so that you will say, "Lord, I look at my life and I look at your death for me on the cross, and therefore I open my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee." That's what makes a Christian, opening our hearts to Jesus. It's not just about coming to church. And I think in the Methodist Church, we need that saying very, very clearly. I think there have always been those who've thought that if they come to church, that's it, they're a Christian. No, you become a Christian by surrendering your heart to Jesus, and you go on serving him day by day. So that life that Jesus gives to you needs to be kept alight. I'm at the stage of life, in a few days, in my mid-80s, to my birthday, when I'm 85. When I'm in that awkward stage in life when, if you've had lifelong friends, they're dropping away. The stadium may be in sight, but they'll get there, but they'll get there by Jesus taking them there. I lost a friend during the week. He's 92, I think. I trained at Handsworth College for the Methodist ministry in the early 60s. With him and others. But I was very close to Derek, and his pilgrimage is now over, and I shall miss him. One less person that I can open myself up to, in all honesty. So I've always thought that the pilgrimage that we go on with Jesus is like a marathon race. Some days are easy, other days are more difficult. He comes along and encourages us and leaves us sometimes not alone totally, but wants us to find our way through the difficulties that are around in a society such as ours. But we mustn't give up. My friend has gone ahead, weary and tired, but becoming a lamp in God's truth. Keep a light. I think a story that we may well think of with prophet is the parable of the 10 virgins, or the 10 bridesmaids, I would perhaps want to call it, where they were waiting for the bridegroom to come to take their friend into his arms and love her and so on. And I don't know whether he was delayed in coming, but he hadn't come. And the evening was coming, and they were told to light their lamps and keep them alight. But five of these bridesmaids were foolish because they hadn't brought any oil with them. They were scatterheads. And they said, oh, give us some of your oil. And the five who have brought the oil said, well, we can't because these lamps burn quickly. And we've only got a little of extra oil for them. So keep your lamp of faith alight. We're all bridesmaids in that sense. Christ is coming again. And he's going to touch our hearts and lives. How do I know that? Because the Bible tells me so. And I'm not ashamed to say that the Bible tells us many things. That our lives can be lived like a wise builder who built his house upon the rock, or like a foolish builder who built his house upon the sand. And you know what happened when the storms came. And I think we're in a time of very bad house building in this society of ours. The government isn't doing much to build actual houses, but I think many, many people are acting like foolish builders, building their lives on pleasure and money and kicks and sexuality and things that we should be ashamed to talk about. But they're now on television, some of them. Love Island. My gosh. And looking at men naked and women naked, and choosing a partner to go out because you like their shape or something like that. BBC, ITV ought to be ashamed of themselves. And so should the church. Because we're not protesting, we're just sitting. But then, you see, if we start protesting, we may come into a time that we don't want, when we become unpopular. Everything goes, in a sense, at the moment, in our nation. And I think we've got scared. Because sometimes if we stand up and declare what we know and believe in the nation, we could get persecution. Or the blank shoulder from somebody in our family. Oh, you've spent all your life on the wrong thing, mate. No, I haven't. I've spent my life on the right thing. I've tried badly, I know. But I've tried to follow Jesus. And he's so full of love and so full of forgiveness. Coming and sitting in church and not knowing Jesus, to me, it's sad if you're doing it. So I'm saying to you, come along to the revival service this afternoon. Or when you take the bread and the wine from communion this morning, just say, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee. Well, I could go on and that wouldn't be right. But do you remember the story of Oscar Wilde, The Portrait of Dorian Gray? It makes me nervous, that story. Have you ever read it? Or if you want to stir yourself up, then read it. A society can be like Dorian Gray, who was a young man about town in the Victorian times. It's a story, a novel. And he decided, or I forget how it came about, that he'd had his portrait painted because he was so good-looking, film star looks. And if he put it up in the attic and went out on a night of breaking all the moral rules, not one night, but most nights, that portrait would still show him as the young, beautiful person he was, until he discovered one day that the portrait had begun to change. And so he went on sinning. And then he would go up into the attic and look at what he was becoming, hunched and cruel and lost his youth and everything like that. And in the end, well, read the story, see what the end is. We can't go on dealing with the dark. The dark little dungeons of our own ego. There'll be an effect somewhere, and we're seeing it in the nation. Christ is not at the centre of our nation. I wish he was. So it's a battle, a worldwide battle, here and in other countries, to catch a fresh vision of Jesus, to see what he can do to us, to move us away from all the things that are wrong in our society. So we need revival. Perhaps we need to prepare the soil of our hearts. Lord, I've slipped into easy ways with you. Challenge me to share my faith with others this week, with that person down the road who just grunts a good morning. Give me strength to enter into conversation. Christianity needs to keep its lights burning, its evangelistic zeal razor sharp. We've got a very blunt razor at the moment. Its eyes on Christ and his throne. Satan, someone who laid down their life in Africa, said Satan can roar like a lion, but he has no authority to shake the throne on which Jesus is sitting. And Jesus comes again. The way to be filled is to be emptied. And the greatest need of the church worldwide, nationwide, circuit-wide, town-wide, is to catch a fresh vision of Jesus. I'm appalled at where we're heading in our nation. Don't bring politics into the pulpit. Well, I have. But what I'm doing is saying our nation needs to get down on its knees again and wake up out of its deep, deep sleep. And the church become childlike, not childish, as it so often is. Revive thy work, O Lord. Exalt thy precious name. And may thy love in every heart be kindled to a flame. Let the light of Christ change our hearts. Keep a light and share the light. In Christ's name, amen. Did I just see a migration move in front of me? Was that an angel? Let's just come to some prayers. Let's remember the people who are suffering through awful injuries, some of them, 800, out of that rail crash in India in which about 300 people have been killed. just ask that Jesus will move, or the Holy Spirit will move, or the Father will move amongst those people in need. And remember too, the chaos, and it is chaos, in the governance of our country. We get truth and lies being bounced around day by day. Gracious God, whose Spirit helps us in our weakness and guides us in our prayers, we pray for the church and for the world in the name of Jesus Christ. Renew the life and faith of the church and this church. Strengthen our witness and make us one in Christ. Grant that we and all who confess that Christ is Lord may be faithful in your service and filled with the Spirit, that the world may be turned to you. Guide the nations in the ways of justice, liberty and peace, and help them to seek the unity and welfare of all people. Give to all in authority wisdom to know and strength to do what is right. Comfort those in sorrow. Heal the sick in body or in mind, and deliver the oppressed. Grant us compassion for all who suffer, and help us so to carry one another's burdens that we may fulfill the law and way of Christ. Receive our thanks and praise for all who have served you faithfully here on earth, and especially those who have revealed to us your grace in Christ. May we and all your people share the life and joy of your kingdom through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Come to the time when the children will be coming back, and as we ask them to come back, we'll be singing the hymn 371, Here is Bread, Here is Wine. Holy, holy Lord God, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We thank you, loving Father, because when we turned away from you, you sent Jesus, your Son. He gave his life for us on the cross and showed us the way to live. Send your Holy Spirit that these gifts of bread and wine may be for us Christ's body and his blood. On the night before he died, when darkness had fallen, Jesus took bread. He gave thanks. He broke it and shared it with his disciples, saying, "This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After they had eaten, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and shared it with his disciples, saying, "This is my blood, poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins." So, Father, with the bread and this cup, we celebrate his love, his death, his risen life, as you feed us with these gifts. Send your Holy Spirit and change us more and more to be like Jesus, our Saviour. Amen. Love's redeeming work is done. Fought the fight, the battle won. Vain the stone, the watch, the seal. Christ hath burst the gates of hell. Hallelujah. We sing as our closing hymn 397, "The Spirit Lives to Set Us Free." If anyone has got any problem in their life that they want to talk over, either come to the service this afternoon with Langley or have a word with me afterwards. We're here to help each other to go deeper into Christ, that Christ may lift us higher.
Oh,
Oh, the tortoise and the hare were hand in hand then, weren't they? That's an improvement from last time. I'm puffed now. I'm a puffin. Do you know what a puffin is? Well, it's a bird. It's a lovely bird. And it catches fish in a beautiful coloured beak. Okay? Perhaps we'll find a picture of a puffin somewhere. I don't know where. But anyway, that's something for your teachers.
Are you going to come to the front and show us what you've been doing? Come on, girls, as well. First of all, we did talk about the trilogy and the beginning of the word being try. So we were looking at everything to do with three. And I did show them element of water, water, ice, and steam. The three elements, but the three in one is God, because they're all the same. So we did that. And then we looked at other things with a try. We came up with triceratops, of course. Go on, hold up. Right, so we had a tricycle, yeah. This one is a bit confusing, perhaps. Somebody said it's got coloured legs. A tripod, that's right. A triangle, that's right. We were trying to think of some more, but we didn't in the end. So, we got the big one? Yes. So then we went on to something else with the triangle, which is an arrow, because we want to follow Jesus as he asked his disciples to do. I think that was one of your readings this morning, asking his disciples, and we're all disciples of Jesus. So what we've got, we made arrows and coloured them in. Are you going to read what it says on there?
To follow Jesus and to tell the others, love, kindness, fairness, sharing, be faithful. Yes.
That's all the things that I think that Jesus wanted us to do. So we've got the arrows to take home to show that we're going to follow Jesus. And they all say that they do tell people that they go to church and they learn about Jesus.
Good. That's really good news. That's excellent. Well done. Thank you. So lots of things have been happening here, and we hope they continue this afternoon. Let's pray. Father God, you made us. You sent Jesus as our Saviour, and the Holy Spirit as our strength. May we continue to worship you and to follow you and to share you and to believe in you. And Lord, if some of us are getting nearer the stadium of Journey's End, will you please accompany us and all our friends on the way? Bless the young people of this church in particular, that in the difficult days ahead, they may find that their light that does not go out is Jesus in their heart. We ask it in his name. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen.